I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Winning Plays back once more, and man, do we have a series here in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics take Game 5 on Thursday night to pull within 3-2 of the Heat as they head back to Miami for could be a do-or-die Game 6 for the Miami Heat.
This episode of the Winning Plays Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Head on over to FanDuel.com/Boston to get your first no-sweat first bet.
My name is Ryan Robb, joined by Ryan Bernadoni at Danger Card on Twitter. Ryan, you've been pretty big on this series on the three-point shot being close to, not all that matters for Celtics, but pretty close to it. How fulfilled do you feel after seeing the role reversal in these last two games from the Celtics and Heat perspective?
Yeah, not just from the Celtics side, right? It's both sides. It's the nature of the game right now. But it's even more the nature of the Celtics game than just about anybody else. And we saw, you know, it's sort of shaping up where the story of the series is the game that we probably talk about the least, which is Game 2. The other four games now have all been like, well, the Heat 50% three and the Celtics shoot 30%, then the Heat are going to win. And if the Celtics shoot 40% from three, then the Celtics are going to win. And then you have this last game that sort of set this up as being 3-2 Heat and the Celtics having to make the comeback instead of the other way around, where it's like, and then you have the game where the Celtics were just idiots and threw the game away. And we've talked so many times over the last couple of years about how when you do that, you open yourself up to all the vagaries of shooting variance and things like that, where like the Celtics can win a series against the Heat where the Heat have two games where they shoot 50% from three. Can they win a series where they have two of those games and then the Celtics give away a third game? That's what we have yet to discover yet. The fact that they've made it to Game 6, it just shows that like when the two teams, yesterday was a case where the two teams sort of shooting wasn't a factor. Both teams shot about the same for the game. The Celtics started off hot and then cooled off a little bit. They had built up the lead. But they were both sort of like 50% field goal, 40% three until you got into garbage. Yesterday was just like a possessions game. The Celtics are just bigger and faster and more physical and healthier. And so they were able to you know, take that early lead and then control the game. But yeah, three-point shooting, just like it continues to be the biggest thing for basically every Celtics game this year and certainly carried into the playoffs. So two more games in this series to see if they can keep it up.
All right. So I think we do have to start. I mean, with last night and honestly looking forward in this series right now, the Gabe Vincent situation, which this guy has turned from, you know, he played last year in the conference finals. It was kind of more of an afterthought in that series. This year he's been easily the Heat's third, fourth best player. And a huge factor defensively for them. He's out last night. They start Kyle Lowry, or the artist formerly known as Kyle Lowry, who gave them absolutely nothing. And now you assume that he's going to try to give it a go in Game 6. But my question is, I don't know if the Heat can win this series. Without Vincent looking maybe 85-90%, because the supporting cast on the Heat around Butler and Bam, etc., gets pretty weak pretty fast when you take him out of the equation.
Yeah, so the fact that they're one game away means that they can win the series because, you know, Duncan Robinson and Max Strus could go 12 for 17 for three in game six, and then the series is over, which again is like, that's the problem with throwing away game two, and you leave yourself open to all these things. But I mean, the amazing thing is that for all that Lowry was terrible yesterday, it seems, he played 30 minutes and he was the best plus minus of all their starters. When he's off the floor, they just can't run the offense. Now, they continue to ridiculous that we talked about in the first three games. It's like, oh, everybody just wants to say that they're getting better shots and that they're and that the Celtics aren't working hard enough and that they're moving the ball and Heat are moving the ball and getting these open shots and everything. But like, by every reasonable shot quality metric, the Heat did not get better shots in the first three games than the Celtics. They just made everything. And they actually kind of did that again yesterday. Like, they shot really well on a difficult
Duncan Robinson in some of those.
Yeah, it's just every week, you know, Highsmith was, and Caleb Martin continues to make shots. It's just like, at some level, they need a point guard to get the offense set up. And even if it's Kyle Lowry, who's not, you know, nowhere close to the player that he was, he could have one more game in him that wins the series as well. There are a lot of ways that they could get through the series, but like, no Hero and no Vincent, and Kyle Lowry, you know, when he's on the floor looks bad, but it sort of keeps him in. When he's off the floor, Jimmy Butler has to play point guard. And as we've seen Jason Tatum in clutch situations where he's trying to masquerade as a point guard instead of letting the point guards play point guard, like, it's just really hard to run an offense with your player with all of the focus on them 35 feet from the hoop at the top of the key, trying to set up the offense and just trying to get things going, and then also being able to go and find their spot where they can get the shots off. And so, yeah, Gabe Vincent coming back even at 70% might be sort of a savior for them, just so they have two point guards and they can have a point guard on the floor the entire game. Because that's what you saw last night, is like, they just were turning the ball over. They were making difficult shots, but every shot was difficult that they were getting in those, particularly in those minutes where they just had like nobody on the floor to set up the offense. So yeah, the return and status of Gabe Vincent seems like kind of a huge story heading into game six.
It's a situation now where with this, like, as this series has progressed, and we, like you mentioned, the game two will be the game that everyone looks at if the Heat go and win game six as you know, a time where the Celtics just didn't have the right personnel on the floor in the fourth quarter, and that ultimately cost them the game here. But to Joe Mazzulla's credit, it's taken a while, but I think he's figured some things out here. And the players, I think, have figured some things out too, like from the right rotations to having the timeout usage, I think, has been very strong in the last couple of games. Riding strong with Derek White and Grant Williams, which was not done enough throughout much of this playoffs, and particularly now. I mean, Derek White he's shooting 58% from three in this series, and that's clearly not sustainable over the long term, but these are wide open looks after wide open looks, and he's been a much better three-point shooter this year in general. And the, like, Jimmy Butler's tricks aren't working as much now. They're playing more discipline there. They're playing, you know, they're getting into Bam's like airspace more, causing him to make a lot of turnovers in these last couple games, I feel like. And so I don't know if Eric Spoelstra, like, there's going to be some tricks, I think, up his sleeve. I wouldn't surprise me if, like, Hayward Highsmith or something like that starts game six in place of Love.
Just, well, it's got to be, like, Caleb Martin, right? That's got to be who they go to start.
I feel like Caleb Martin for them is like Malcolm Brogdon off the bench for the Celtics. I don't know. Like, you're right.
He's got to play 40 minutes, though. That's the thing. Like, he may have to literally play 40 minutes, and so you just kind of have to start him if you're going to get him there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if they just play, hey, we're going to start our best five and ride these guys in the ground because we know we need this game. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's adjustment wise from Spoelstra for six. Like, what do you see him trying, either with or without Vincent, you know, beyond, you know, taking Kevin Love out of that starting five?
I mean, from their perspective, I don't know if there's any more that they can really do. They just don't have a very deep roster. So yeah, you can move Caleb Martin up, and if Vincent can play, then obviously he'll come back in. But if you're in a position where you have one healthy point guard on the roster, like, this is where Hero being injured and out for basically the whole playoffs, and it sort of feeling like he's not a part of the conversation, a part of the team, really hurts them, obviously, because he would be the other guard who would be playing. So I don't, you know, there's not a lot of great options. Like, what are they going to play Yurtseven instead of Zeller? Like, there's nothing out there that's really there to go to. They Highsmith being able to play most of the game yesterday and making shots means that, yeah, you expect that he'll play a little bit more going here. I would obviously be playing him over Kevin Love. I would be playing Duncan Robinson over Kevin Love. Like, I don't know if Kevin Love can really play at all at this point in the series. Certainly not as a starter. So they can make that adjustment. It's just like the Celtics, even without Brogdon or being, you know, being very limited with him, they just have a lot more weapons and a lot more places to go, which is of course why they should have won the series easily from the start, instead of having this whole first three games of like throw a game away and get shot out of the building twice. And suddenly this series that should not be this close. Like, this is why sports are sports. Why you don't go to the series but the Celtics are going to win 100% of the time. Like, you look at it and you say, well, if the Heat shoot really well for 2 weeks, then they could win the series. And like, that's kind of what has happened. But you do then get to a point with them where it's like, they don't really have a lot of buttons to push. Like, they threw a lot of stuff early in the series in terms of like zones and traps and things like that are just sort of on court tactical stuff in terms of who they're going to be playing. I mean, I think you're now down to Vincent or not, but then Butler, Adebayo, Strus, I guess you have to play Lowry, Duncan Robinson, Highsmith, and Caleb Martin. And it's like, okay, well, that's seven guys, and that's, or eight guys, I guess, if you're counting Highsmith. It's just, there's not a lot to work with there. And so, yeah, I mean, that's how you get to where you are, right? Missoula has a lot more options, which has sometimes been part of the challenge, probably. And, you know, trying to figure out where to get Grant Williams with the other guys and things like that, where there's just a lot more choices to make there. But obviously, it's, you take a lot of shots and everything looks great. You miss a lot of shots, everything looks terrible. I don't mean to continually go back to that, but what happens if the Celtics start 1-for-8 from three in game six? Do they continue to play the same way? Do they panic and play five guys for 46 minutes? Like, how do they respond to that? Maybe we'll find out. Maybe they'll open up on fire again and they'll just roll through the game. But you know, like I said, they have a lot more choices to make than Spoelstra does.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's true. And I mean, I guess the only interesting choice, I feel like in this series now, or at least in the last couple of games, Grant Williams becoming the true second big. I think the usage between him and Rob Williams, I think they're trying to protect Rob a little bit more and maximize his efficiency, particularly like making sure he's in there and against the non-Bam minutes. And I mean, it's obviously it was a lot easier for him defensively last night when there's Lowry, like you said, is the only point guard on the floor. But I wonder now, heading into game six, Malcolm Brogdon, he's missed 10 straight shots. His arm is dealing with a tendon issue. And so what do you do heading into on the road if you're Joe Mazzulla there? Do you just play seven with Grant and Rob coming off the bench, literally just go with that group? Do you give Pritchard or Hauser a shot to be that eighth guy for, you know, a stint in the first half there, see what they have? I'm curious to see how they play it. Or do you try Brogdon again and you give him more chances, which in my opinion is, I think we're beyond that point, given that he is not a net positive defensively for this group.
Yeah, if Brogdon is out, then I think they probably give Pritchard another opportunity in the first half. Now, if the game's getting away from them and they're chasing, you know, things change based on what's happening on the floor. If Brogdon is available, I imagine that he'll be given another chance to play, but like, the has to be incredibly short, and he has to be honest with the team as well, right?
That's the biggest thing right now, I feel like.
Very difficult for him. I completely understand. You want to play through it. We've seen this in the past with Gordon Hayward coming back in playoff situations, or Kemba, where it's just like, guys, we get it, but like, I appreciate it as a fan, but you can't play. And it sucks, but you can't. So if he's not feeling like he can shoot the ball, then he should tell them that and then not be put on the floor. And then, yeah, you cut down from there. And like I said, I think they probably give Pritchard one, you know, a few minutes in the first half, and who knows, he may go 2 for 2 from three and great. Like, it works out. If not, they cut it down again. And the good thing is that with White and Smart playing so well in some of these games, it's like, you can just run them a lot of minutes and just have that be the guys that you rely on here. And particularly on the road, where you're right, traditionally you think of, well, who knows, with the Celtics, maybe it's the reverse, but you know, role players playing down at home, the road, all that stuff. And you have guys with some experience there that you can rely on. The other funny thing is that Grant Williams finally gets back fully into the rotation. He's a -9 last night. He's right. Can't, you know, misses the shots. Feels like maybe the least effective of all the Celtics players who are out there. Although a lot of that is just because he didn't start, and they got off to such a roll and took that lead early in the game, where it's like, that was never going to continue at that pace. But yeah, it feels like with Brogdon probably sidelined now, that it's like, okay, a little bit of Peyton Pritchard, and then just rely heavily on Smart and White, and make sure you have one of them on the floor all the time, and just kind of roll with the bigs from there, and then figure it out all again for game seven if you make it through it.
You brought up the guard. I mean, it's worth talking about what they did in game five. I mean, Tatum flat out told us after the game that, you know, they won the game because of them, and White had a really, you know, he had a little bit of a blip during the Sixer series. They took him out of the starting five. Offensively, that wasn't a good lamp for them against that team. But now, between the Hawks series and this performance against the Heat, like, he is, I think, surpassing expectations as far as what he can do offensively. And I think even defensively last night against Butler and company, he, you know, he's had some tough moments there in this series, but I think he's really hunkered down well and become even, you know, the guy we thought during the regular season on that end of the floor in these spots of late.
47 points on 23 field goal attempts between the two of them, and some field, you know, some free throws in there, but they were just great on that end. And then you go down the other end, you're like, and 7 steals,
right,
between the two of them. They absolutely were the controlling factor in the game. And now if you're a Heat fan, you have to look at it from the other side and say, well, yeah, they're missing their starting backcourt, right? Like, they don't have Gabe Vincent and Tyler Hero. So it's an opportunity for them to control the game. And then, like we've talked about on both sides of the equation here, any team, anybody, any pairing that goes 10 for 14 from three is going to look amazing. No matter who you're playing against, no matter how open your shots are, the fact that you went 10 for 14 from three, like, that's not going to happen every time. You can take 14 wide open shots every single game. You will generally not go 10 for 14 from three, but they did in a big spot when it was necessary. They, you know, they both were making sense. And some of particularly White shots were like not easy threes. He took some pretty challenging ones, and he was just knocking everything down. So they were absolutely, yeah, the controlling factor of the game, set the tone right from the start there. Both really, particularly Smart, really good on doubling down on Bam, so that he got like a little bit of a stretch in the third quarter where he looked okay, but otherwise he looked pretty bad all game.
6 turnovers.
Yeah, and both of them doing the job when they get switched on to Jimmy, because again, like, without a point guard out there, Butler's playing a lot. He's always going to be on ball a lot, but he has to play like the entirety of the role for some of these lineups they have. And so he's picking on Smart and White, but when he's not focused on like using his size advantage, particularly against White, to score, but he's like trying to get the offense set up, and they're just trying to like get something run in the first 8 seconds of the shot clock and stuff like that, like, it's much more comfortable, I think, for them to be like in that situation matched up against him than when it's like, you know, this is the end of the play and he's able to just use his size and his foul grifting to get into White, where it's like Derek White, all defense this year, great defender, but sort of like last playoffs, like, because of his size, he's the player that teams are trying to pick on, because it's like, it's not a great option, but they don't have any other. And it's just difficult when it's like the team has somebody who's 4 inches taller and however many pounds heavier, and it's the playoffs and you can just sort of bowl guys over. But last night, that they were so good. Like, that's as good of a controlled performance as you can get from your backcourt basically in a playoffs, short of having some superstar who goes off and scores 50 all on his own. Like, that's just about perfect.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And then Jalen also starts cold.
I mean, yeah, that's
back and right. That's sort of
like, how good do you feel about him right now? How much better do you feel about him after that performance?
It obviously hasn't been great since it looks like he also picked up some amount of an injury, and the game started very difficult for him just in the first few possessions. And then he made that, he got the dunk, and then I think made a three. And then from that point on, it was sort of much more normal what you would expect from him. And so it wasn't great. Like, it wasn't any game that's going to stand out in his all time, list of box scores or anything, but shooting 50% is better than, and making three threes when we had made three in the previous 25 shots or something, right? Like, whether that's he's feeling more healthy, that he's recovering, or whether it was just a good night, and who really knows. But I think the only problem that, if I was Jalen, I would feel sort of aggrieved last night that I didn't shoot a single free throw, because there were possessions in the middle of that game where I think from a Celtics and a fan perspective, I was like, man, you got to stop forcing it there. You got to stop forcing it there. When it seemed like he was a little bit out of control, but I'm also watching it going, boy, he's getting like hammered on some of these drives and not being able to get anything out of it. So to be able to balance that out with good shooting and, everybody on the team pretty well played good defense last night. So feeling better than I had been. And hopefully it was, it's a progression towards better health that's leading to that, and that it will continue.
He outscored Caleb Martin. I think that's going to be, if the Celtics are going to win game 6 and game 7. He has to outscore Caleb Martin, and that happened last night. And honestly, the biggest thing I look at for Jalen right now is the turnovers. One in game 4, one in game 5. And he's never going to be a big assist guy, but he is not giving the ball away. He's not running himself into trouble. Even Tatum did that to some degree last night, 4 turnovers, some really, puzzling passes.
11 assists, though.
11 assists, exactly. So if you can... 4 turnovers is fine if you're giving out 11 assists. That's never going to happen with Jalen. So he has to, just try to be efficient. The threes are going to go down great. I agree with you on the officiating last night. Like, there was even one possession, I think, in the first quarter. Like, Al Horford was literally being dragged down by Max Strus on, a box out. They didn't call it, they let a lot go last night. And so that wasn't this stuff will be game to game. But it's a situation where, it's... At some point, if they do call it, give less leeway in a game 6, I think that will bode well for Jalen, given his aggressiveness getting in the rim. But he's getting out in transition. He's running more. I think he's playing smarter. He's kind of reading the Miami defense well, not getting himself too far deep, not letting them take away his passing lanes before it's too late. And that's big for this team, because they need him. They don't need him to be an all-star. They just need him not to be a net negative in these games, I think, to help them get past here.
Yeah, well, and we'll see. They might need him to be an all-star in one of these next two games. The other thing on the turnovers and on Tatum, because I know we're wrapping up here, we have only a few more minutes, is you can take 4 turnovers and 11 assists if the team as a whole only has 9 turnovers, right? That's the other thing of it. It's he was playing that role. He was being the playmaker in the game, other than in the first few minutes where he looked like he might score 50 again. Then he settled way down in terms of scoring and was doing a lot more playmaking. There were a couple of bad turnovers in there, but there were also a couple of really nice passes, a good controlled game in general. And because nobody else on the team was turning the ball over in some amount of it, because he was sort of playing that role, it allowed them to once again, win the turnover battle, the second game in a row where the Heat turned the ball over a lot. And again, maybe that's because they have no guards. Maybe that's because of the Celtics' intensity. Maybe that's because the Celtics made a bunch of threes at the beginning, and whenever that happens, they block shots and get steals the rest of the game. It's weird. But you put all that stuff together and it's just there's a recipe there where the Celtics are basically unbeatable this year, where we know if they shoot 40% from three, they're basically unbeatable. But if they shoot well from three and they don't turn the ball over, they just have too much talent everywhere else for anybody to keep up with them scoring wise. And so you feel like if they do that in 2 more games, then they'll win the series. will they? Well, we'll find out, right? Whether or not they're going to do that. But yeah, it was a good all around effort. That's the other thing that I think maybe stands out, is that it wasn't a Jason Tatum goes and gets 46 points to save them or something like that. It was a game where pretty much everybody who played, other than Brogdon, who again has a completely understandable serious arm injury that he's apparently trying to, you know, play through here. Everybody who took the floor for the Celtics, I think, contributed, and nobody looked overwhelmed or anything like that. They were all there, and it was a real team effort again.
All right, well, let's wrap on this. Are we seeing game seven? What's your feel going to Miami? How does Vincent play into it, and what are you feeling from an odds standpoint?
I mean, they're the better team, so they should win. They've been a great road team. They've been great in these elimination games for 2 years now. They're, 8-1 in elimination games? If they win this series and it'll go to 10-1, like, I can't imagine that there's any other teams that have gone 10-1 in elimination games over a two-year span, because who the heck plays 11 elimination games in 2 years, right? Like, if you're a good enough team where you can win that many games, you shouldn't have to play that many elimination games along the way. Only the weird Celtics team would do it. I feel, you know, better in this series than I guess I did after game five of the 76ers series.
Wow. I guess that makes sense, though, because based on the talent level.
Yeah, I mean, the talent disparity, the fact that they won game five instead of lost game five. So there's just the recency bias of, like, it feels like they've got some things figured out. The change to that, or the reverse of that, is that, like, the Heat don't give up. Like, you do not they have not rolled over in any of these games, even when the Celtics were playing really well in these last two games and shooting really well. They just keep coming. They don't roll over. And with the 76ers, you feel like at any moment, particularly Embiid and Harden, can just roll over and sort of give the game away. So with the Heat, you don't expect that to ever happen, which is scary because it's, you know, one game for your season. So I think there will be a game seven. It makes for the storyline is almost feels too good to not happen. So I don't know, where are you at? You've been in the arena and around the team. How do you feel about all of
it? I think they feel confident. They've figured some stuff out. And I think that collectively across the board, they, you know, took a look in the mirror, whatever you want to say. But I do think, like, they've kind of figured out a lot of the Heat tricks. And that's not to say that that some of the new ones won't pop up here in game six or game seven, but I think that's a big part of the equation. And I don't know, I look at this series now, I've brought this up before, it reminds me a lot of the 2010 Magic Celtics series, from just a matchup standpoint. And the difference between this series and that series is that 2010 Celtics team is a lot better than this Heat team. And I think this Celtics team is a lot better than that Magic team, but it was the same script. Celtics went up 3-0. Magic fought back, took two games. Game six at home at Boston, a must win for them, essentially, in that series. And they got the job done. The Heat are in the same situation now going back home. And they don't have the firepower that group has. And even though they do have some of the metal in the fight, so I'm a few. I think this goes back, and then all bets are off for game seven.
Yeah, and the Celtics won game seven in Miami last year, wire to wire. I know famously Jimmy Butler almost won the game, but he didn't, and the Celtics controlled that entire game. So it's not like they haven't ever come into Miami and, you know, at the end of a series and been able to get the win. And that Heat team, yeah, particularly if Vincent is anything less than 100%, was a lot scarier than it feels like this one is right now. Of course, we got 10 seconds left here, unless they shoot 50% from three again, and then there's nothing, you know, then you just, it can happen, and you just kind of hope it doesn't, and that the Celtics are able to get off onto a roll and be the better team again.
All
game
right,
seven would be a hell of a time.
Game seven, Memorial Day. We'll see if it happens. All right, make sure you're following Ryan on Twitter @DangerCart, and we'll be back with you guys later this weekend after game six.